Our sermon text, Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97 through verse 112. Psalm 119, 97 to 112. Now hear the word of the Lord. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Arise, O Lord, set the godly ones in safety. Your words are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace, tried seven times. Keep your word forever and preserve your promises to this generation forever. Put down the wicked on every side and the vileness of the sons of men. Speak to us now. Strengthen and change us after the image of your Son, the incarnate Word. In his name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning, you can count how many times I say Jesus. And how many times I say word? Jesus and the word. And I'll give you a count at the end of the service. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue this morning our sermon series on living out the faith, practical living of being a Christian. And this morning, the sermon is on living according to Scripture. How does Scripture How do our lives live around Scripture? We start this morning in the worship service, and this part of the service is for the sermon, the proclamation of the Word. Now, this part of the service is where many Christians place the greatest weight of worship. We judge a church or we assess a particular worship service, maybe even the preacher himself, by how was the sermon. Faithful churches, faithful ministers proclaim and expound the word faithfully. The sermon and the ministry of the word are of high importance in the church. Now, our worship service, the covenant renewal service, the sermon comes in the part of the service for consecration. We are consecrated according to the word. And this is where we as the body and we as individuals are consecrated to be more like Jesus, more like the incarnate word. Over time, by the grace of God, the ministry of the word and the ministry of the Spirit changes us. Changes us corporately, changes us individually. Over time, we grow. We grow in our faith. And we image God in greater and more faithful ways. Now, there are other aspects, other factors that play into how we are formed as Christians. This is not solely based on sermons, nor is it solely based on the ministry of the Word. A church ought to have a faithful liturgy, godly fellowship, God-honoring singing to the building up of the body, corporate and individual prayer life, and the faithful and regular celebration of the Lord's Supper all affect the growth of the church and the growth of us as individual Christians. But the ministry of the Word is the special revelation of the will of God. God reveals himself in many ways. He reveals himself in creation. But in the beginning, he spoke. He spoke all things into being. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He continues to uphold all things by his word. He continues to speak and give life to creation. And God brings all things to pass. The word of God in the worship service is God speaking to his covenant people. God breathing his spirit on the body of Christ to bring all things to pass in us, affecting us after the image of his Son. As read earlier, the Word of God is living. The Word of God is active. The Spirit-breathed Word gives life to dead men. It opens our eyes. It illuminates our minds. It softens our hearts. And that same Word splinters cedars and shatters stone. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it'll cut us up like animal sacrifices, just as the bulls and the rams were cut up separated, bones and tissue from blood, joint from marrow. The Word of God, as that double-edged sword, cuts us up, divides our souls from spirit. We are separated by the Word. We are convicted of sin. And before the true and the living God in the worship service, our consciences are laid bare. God makes himself known to us and graciously grants us repentance. That's what's already happened here this morning. This is different. This is different than any other book in the whole world. I could stand up here, I could read biographies of great people. I could read novels that capture your attention. We could sing songs with lyrics, majestic lyrics, or I could read breathtaking poetry to you. But it could not match the divinely inspired Word of the living God. It's unlike any word, unlike any book. This is why we pray Scripture throughout our service. This is why we sing Scripture. This is why we want the Word of God throughout our service. And as you look at our liturgy, you will see passage after passage, verse after verse, the Word of God is at the center of our worship. And this is because we've been saved by grace. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. You are his covenant people, and you are to keep covenant with God. And you keep covenant with the Lord by keeping his word, living according to the word. Our church, we are to minister with the word at the center of everything we do. We want and need to be formed by the word because this is the revelation of God to his people, different from any other book. This is God speaking to us. This is his will for us. Psalm 123, verse 2. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to Yahweh our God until he has mercy on us. We are his servants, and we look to him in everything. We want to know what he says about everything. And by the Spirit blessing the ministry of the word, we are changed. We hear the word, we understand the word, and we change how we live. We learn to hate wickedness and sin, beginning in ourselves. We learn to love righteous living and holiness. We love what God loves, and we hate what God hates. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we live as God calls us to live. We live as he has revealed himself in his word. And as our lives are changed according to the revealed will of God, we faithfully image God. He reveals himself in our faithful living. We learn about God from our reading of Holy Scripture. There's much talk today about, do we truly know God? How can we know God? I just want to know God. One theologian said recently, you want to really know God? You ought to read his autobiography. Start there. As the Spirit conforms us to the Word, we begin to think God's thoughts after him. We begin to talk like God talks and do the things he does. It is not by coincidence that Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God, is called the incarnate Word. Jesus is God come in human flesh. He perfectly carried out the Father's will. He perfectly obeyed and fulfilled the law of God. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is God in human flesh. Jesus, God, living as a human being. How do we live? We desire to live as Jesus lived. When we live according to the Word of God, we follow Jesus. When we obey the Word of God, his Word is done in us. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, on a macro level for the church faithfully living by the Word, obeying God on earth, the kingdom comes into greater and greater fulfillment. When the church does this faithfully, local churches like this local body grow in maturity of faith. The Lord in his grace adds to our number. On a micro level, faithful individual Christians grow in love and good works. We grow in maturity. We grow in wisdom. And the Lord graciously conforms us more and more to his heavenly body. We are already full in Christ. We are already perfect, mature in Christ. But by the Spirit, over time, he perfects us. He sanctifies us. That's that becoming more like Jesus. And that's a wonderful and glorious thing, brothers and sisters. But for us to do this in our daily lives, we need to know what this says. It's a great idea to be conformed after the image of Jesus, the incarnate Word. But we need to know what God says in his Word. This needs to be our daily bread. This needs to be our sustenance. What we consume every day. Now we learn the Word in different ways, as already mentioned. We hear it throughout the service in our readings, in our sermon, when we sing the Psalms. We learn the Word. And sometimes in the worship service, we read a passage we've never heard before. It strikes us as odd or awkward or different than how we might have thought on our own. But ask yourself, who needs the changing? Does the word need to be changed because it sounds funny? It sounds awkward to us? Does the word need to be changed? Or do I need to be changed? We learn the word in our daily Bible reading, in our personal devotional time that we set apart, through family worship, through Bible studies at home and at church, in our Christian homeschooling where we teach our children the word every single day. We teach all subjects from the Christian perspective of truth in accord with the word of God. We can listen to the word of God electronically, at home, in our car, when we exercise. This is our sustenance. This is our life. Because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. This is how he speaks to us. God's speaking to his people. Our daily meditation. So, brethren, to live by every word, we need to commit to learning every word. Though it'll take time to learn our Bibles, we can trust God's grace in making it known to us over time. You're not going to learn it all today. You're not going to learn it all in a week. You're not going to learn it after 1 year of a yearly Bible reading plan. This will take time. Ask the older saints in the congregation. Do they have this Bible licked? Do they know it inside and out? After a lifetime of reading the Bible, do they have it all figured out? It takes regular, daily commitment. You can find yourself a good yearly Bible reading plan. You can find different lectionaries. We have one in our liturgy in the back inside cover. If you're starting from scratch, you can read one chapter a day. In the month of March, read Proverbs. Proverbs is 31 chapters. March is 31 days. Read one chapter every day. Perhaps a psalm a day to get the ball rolling. But you need to start. You need to commit to it and be faithful in carrying it out. Set your heart on knowing God, because that is the reason. This is not to puff us up with knowledge. Look how smart I could be. It's to know God more. Know him more by knowing his word more, and you will be blessed beyond measure. In our sermon text this morning, hear the psalmist's loyalty and affection for the word. This is his life. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. All the day. The regular practice of God's people. Daily ingesting the word of God. Not living by physical bread alone, but living by the word. Verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. This is a bounty. Christ Church, do we feast well? Yes. So feast on this. Feast well. Don't just eat. Feast. We confess in our responsive reading earlier, Psalm 1. The righteous. The righteous. You are righteous in Christ. The righteous meditate on the word day and night, and from that meditation, you produce fruit. Deuteronomy 6, to the covenant body, talk about God's word. Teach your children the word when you're at home and when you're on the way. Talk about the word from when the moment you rise to when you lie down in the evening. How could you not, when it's a glorious feast that the Lord has given you? Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Doesn't that sound great? That's God's revelation to his people. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Take it in. Ingest it. Love it because you love God. And live it, imaging him. But this won't just happen. We have to begin by forming good habits with our daily reading. Begin by setting a schedule to ensure that we read the Bible every day. I will read it at this time every day. Be disciplined. Grow up. Persevere. Well-intentioned yearly Bible readings usually go to die in February or March in the second half of Exodus or Leviticus. If you miss a day, make it up. Or just go on to the next day. Move on. In those difficult passages in the second half of Exodus and Leviticus, God graciously speaks to you. He reveals himself to you. He reveals his will to you. And he reveals how you are to live in your covenant relationship with him. It might not make sense right away, but we're not on our own to figure this out. Listen to the psalmist in 119, verses 101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Verses 104, 105. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Through the word God makes his will known. He opens our eyes to it. Otherwise we would be in darkness. We can't see our feet. But through our ingesting of his word, even the first 8 or 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles, God will open our eyes. We know him more. We get this regularly at church, every Lord's Day. We have Bibles throughout our homes. We even have electronic Bibles at our disposal. We have no lack of resources to get the word of God. If you don't have a Bible, come see me after the service. I'll make sure you get one. No excuses. On top of that, we have innumerable resources to help learn the Bible. Sermons online, theological lectures, libraries online for free. And that's in addition to everything that's in print form. You can buy in books. The Lord has blessed us at this time, in this area, beyond measure. With all these resources at our hands, our time ought to be a time of great biblical literacy. We ought to be stronger than ever in this category. We ought to know more than the ancients based on what we have. If your relationship with the Lord is the most important part of your life, if it's the foundation of everything you do, you need to know him. I love the Lord above everything. You need to know him. And you know him one way is through his word. If you don't know him through the word, the question is, do you really know him as he is? His revealed character. His revealed will for his people. And we as a church cannot pay lip service to being people of the word. Because the alternative to daily commitment to reading, learning, and growing in the word is neglect of the word. Neglecting the word leads to a disconnect with God. If we're ignorant of the word, we're ignorant of who God is. We open ourselves up to misunderstandings and be led by temptations and wrong motivations. If we don't know Him and His Word, we don't know how to serve Him. Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How did He teach us? How did He teach us how to live according to His Word? Verse 112, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I know what I need to do. We know what we need to do. We know how to live for God because we've sought His special revelation. The alternatives again, sin and destruction coming from ignorance. The prophet Hosea spoke against this. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. How did that start? A lack of knowledge, a lack of knowing God, knowing who He is. Does He like this or not? Should we do this or should we not do it? How do we know? Go to His revealed will. The alternative is destruction. Boys and girls, destruction, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Do we want to be destroyed? It's a bad thing. We do not want to be destroyed. Do we want generational suffering for lack of true knowledge of God? In the prophetic ministry of Ezekiel, the prophet, Ezekiel was in exile in Babylon with the other exiles. And as the prophet, he brought the word to the people. But in God's judgment, He told Ezekiel to remain silent. Don't tell the people anything. They'll come to you, Ezekiel. They'll ask for a message. Don't say anything. Imagine. God's people reject the word. They live in disobedience, covenant unfaithfulness, and God goes silent. No more special revelation from the Lord. No more testimonies to rejoice our hearts. Depart from His judgments, He stops teaching you. A famine of the Word. And when we get to that point, what we need to do is cry out to God. Verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Brothers and sisters, to whom much is given, much is expected. We've been blessed immensely by the revelation of God. As Ted said earlier, we know more than King David. More has been revealed to us. So let's rejoice in that. Let us be wiser than our enemies. Let us have more understanding, more than the previous generations, the aged. Love God's word and learn it. When we approach worship, let us have a high regard for the reading of the Holy Scriptures. We are hearing from God. The King is proclaiming His goodness, His truth. The King is teaching us how to serve Him. And He's speaking to us His terms of the covenant. And then after worship, we depart for the next 6 days. And we live by every word He has revealed to us. From the Lord's Day through those 6 days. And let us be like the psalmist. Loving the word, meditating all the time on God's Word. Meditating more than what we might ingest from Netflix. Ingesting more than we might get from social media. Desire daily to be taught wisdom from God, that we wouldn't be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That we would not forget what He has taught us. We would not stray. And let's do this as a community, church family. Grow together. Grow in the Lord together as brothers and sisters. Because learning the Word is not done in isolation. It is not good for us to be alone. Those who isolate themselves from the church are in greater danger to be led astray by false teachers. The devil himself quoted Scripture. We need the household of faith. We need those who are united by the Spirit to help one another. And live with the firm conviction that the Bible, the Word of God, is our final authority. It is our daily bread, the means by which we pursue to know God more. Reading, learning, living by Scripture is our joy. Our love of Jesus is loving His Word. Faithfulness to Jesus is keeping His Word. So, brothers and sisters, let us be people of the book. As Augustine heard, tolle legi, take up and read. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read them, mark them, learn them, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you've given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.